We'll begin this morning by reading a passage from the Tanisho. This is a record of the teachings that Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, gave when people came to ask him questions. And so it's one of our treasured records of his teachings. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho with a foolish being of blind passions in this world, this burning house, all matters without exception are empty and false, totally without true and sincerity. The Nembutsu alone is true and real. Bon no michi michi no bonbu ni wa kono hi no moeteru ie no youna sekai no naka de wa sbete no mono ga yuso itsuwari de ari nenbutsu tada nenbutsu ga tadashi shinjitsu no mono de aru to namanbabutsu. Morning, everyone. Minasan ohayou gozaimasu. We're now approaching one of our very special Buddhist services. Buddhist observances for the year is coming up next week, is our important Buddhist service for the month of April. Can anyone tell me what that is? That's right. Yes, Enzo, do you know what the important Buddhist service for the month of April is? Hinamatsuri was last month in March. You're very close, just one letter. One letter is different, yeah? Do you know, Oki? Hanamatsuri, that's right. Hanamatsuri. Hanamatsuri. And does anyone know what Hanamatsuri celebrates? Yeah, Enzo? The birth of the Buddha, that's correct. The Buddha's birthday. So our Buddha's birthday celebration is coming up next week. Next week. And so when you come here next week, I want you to take an extra careful look. Pay attention. It'll be hard to miss. There'll be something special that'll be set up here in the front. Does anyone remember from last year what you might see up here? The flowers. That's right. The flowers. And those flowers represent a certain place. A certain place in India. It's actually in Nepal. It's a certain place in Nepal. Does anyone know what the name of that place is? Yeah, we sang about it just a couple minutes ago. Yeah, do you know, Nicole? Lumbini's Garden, that's right. Lumbini's Garden. So when you come here next week, you'll see Lumbini's Garden will be up here at the front. And so in Lumbini's Garden, something very special happened, right? A baby was born, and that baby did something very special when he was born. He took seven steps. Seven steps. Have you ever seen a newborn baby before? Yeah. Could it walk? Could he or she walk? No, they can't usually walk. So this is a special story. It tells us something about how special this person who was born was, this person we call the Buddha. Talks about how the Buddha took seven steps when he was born, and then he pointed one finger up to the sky and one finger down to the earth. He said, "Above the heavens and beneath the heavens, I alone am the honored one," which means I've come here to do something very special. And so those seven steps are very important because seven is one more than what number? A little bit tricky, you gotta turn on your math brain. I know you're in spring break mode, but one number less than seven is?
Six.
Six, that's right. And so we talk about the six realms of existence. Six realms of existence. There are six kinds of ways that people or beings can live. They can live like human beings. That's wonderful. That's what we try to do. But sometimes it's said that people live like animals. Sometimes we live like hungry ghosts. We're just very greedy. We just want more and more. Sometimes we're like hell beings. We get really angry. Okay? Sometimes we're very competitive. We're like fighting titans. Sometimes we get what we want and it's like we're a kind of heavenly being. And so there are these six kinds of existence that people just go around and around and around and around in their lives. And some people say over the course of many lives. So when the Buddha took these seven steps, he was saying, I'm going to go beyond these six realms. I'm going to go beyond this practice of going around and around and around. So it said that before that birth, before he took those seven steps in Lumbini's garden, that he had been around and around many times. And in his life, after he became enlightened, he would tell stories about things that happened to him before that moment when he was born. So he would tell stories about things that had happened in his previous lives. And so that's what I want to share with you today. One of those stories that he told about his previous lives. So there are all these wonderful stories he would tell about things that had happened in the past. And so in this one particular story, is about a pool party. It starts out at a pool party. Have you ever been to a pool party? Before? Yes. Did you wear your regular clothes into the pool?
No.
You had to change into your swimming suit, right? So this is a story about a pool party that was held by a king. And so before everybody got into the pool, they had to change into their swimming suits, right? And the king and the queen and some of their friends were at this party. And so they had to take off their very nice clothes, right? Because the king and the queen, they wear very nice clothes. And the queen especially wore very fancy jewelry, very precious necklaces with lots of diamonds and jewels. And so before she got in the pool, of course, she took off her precious necklace and she set it down. And she asked one of her attendants, one of her helpers, she said, keep an eye on this necklace for me. I'm going to go for a swim. So you just sit here and watch the necklace. Okay? Watch the necklace. Make sure nothing happens to it because it's very precious. Then she changed into her bathing suit. She jumped in the pool. And so her helper, her job was to do what?
Watch
the necklace. Just watch it. Do you think that was interesting?
No.
So she was watching it and staring at it. And she knew, I can't take my eyes off this necklace. You know what happened? She got bored. And so she fell asleep. She dozed off. And when she dozed off, there was a monkey who happened to be wandering by in the trees. And the monkey saw the beautiful necklace. And he'd seen the queen wearing it earlier. And he thought, wow, the queen was so beautiful in that necklace. I want to be beautiful just like the queen. I want to wear that necklace. So what do you think the monkey did? He snuck down, he grabbed the necklace, and he ran away with it. But then he thought, you know what? The other monkeys might see me wearing this necklace, and they might try to take it from me. So he took it back to his monkey tree, and he hid it. He hid it in the tree, and he was just sitting there guarding the necklace very carefully. Well, the queen came back from the party, and what do you think she discovered? Her necklace was gone. That's exactly right. The necklace was gone. And so immediately she let out a scream. And the girl whose job it was to watch the necklace, she woke up like, oh, what happened? She said, the queen says, where is the necklace? She says, oh, somebody must have stolen it. And so the call went out. Somebody's stolen the queen's precious necklace. And so people, all of the guards went out and they looked and they saw a simple peasant walking down the road. They said, I bet it was him. He's the only person around. So they ran after him and they captured him. They said, did you steal the queen's necklace? And he thought, oh no, if I say no, then they're going to think I'm lying and they're going to beat me up until I admit to it. So he says, oh yeah, yeah, I stole a necklace, but then I gave it to the king's treasurer, the person who's in charge of all the king's jewels. And so they went to the treasurer and they say, did you steal the queen's necklace? And he says, yeah, I did. But then I gave it to the high priest. And so he gave it. Then they went to the high priest and they say, did the treasurer give you the queen's stolen necklace? And he says, yes. But then I gave it to the musician. And then they went to the musician and they said, did you steal the queen's necklace? And he said, yeah, I stole the necklace, but then I gave it to my girlfriend. And then they went to his girlfriend and they say, do you steal the necklace? He says, what are you talking about? I did not steal any necklace. And so they say, well, this is all very strange. So they took her and the other four and the five of them, they threw them all in jail. And they said, okay, something strange here. So they asked one of the king's advisors. They said, you're very wise and we've got this problem. And the advisor looked around and he said, there's something very fishy going on here. I think we got to keep these five people, just hang on to them and make sure that the guards listen very carefully. So just hold them for a little while and the guards, just watch them closely and listen carefully to what they say. And then he left them and then he went to look. He went to look around the palace and look around. He says, there are guards everywhere. Nobody could have gotten in or out of here without being noticed. And so meanwhile, the people are sitting there, these five people are talking, and they're saying, you know, like, so first the treasurer asks the peasant, says, why did you say that you gave me the necklace? Says, well, you know, I figured that, you know, they were just going to beat me up, but you're so rich and powerful that, you know, it would make sense for you to have the necklace. I'm so poor, all of my stuff, even my table is falling apart. So I figured that it was more likely that, you know, maybe you would have it and you're powerful. So if I got you involved, then you would be able to help me out. And then the high priest said, why did you accuse me? He said, well, I figured that if the two of us were together, somehow we could put our heads together and we could work out a way to get out of this. And then the musician says, yeah, but then why did you accuse me? Says, well, I figured we'd be in jail for a while, so I wanted somebody to entertain us and play some music while we're sitting in jail. And then the girlfriend says, why did you accuse me? Says, well, I would have just missed you so much if I'd been in jail without you. So I accused you so that we could spend this time together, and why don't we just enjoy this time that we have together? So meanwhile, this wise advisor is thinking and thinking and thinking, and he says, you know, there's no way people could get in here, but look around here, there are monkeys everywhere. This place is just crawling with monkeys. I bet one of the monkeys stole it. And he said, so let's watch very carefully and see if you see any monkeys with this necklace. And the guards looked very closely for one day. No monkeys with the necklace. He says, okay, I think I have a nice solution. So he said, get me some cheap, shiny beads. Cheap beads, the cheapest, shiniest ones you can find. And so they got him a collection of cheap, shiny beads. And then he started handing them out to all the monkeys, throwing them to the monkeys. And the monkeys thought this was great. So the monkeys put on the beads. They start strutting around, looking cool. They're showing off their beads. Well, meanwhile, the monkey who had stolen the queen's necklace, he sees all of this. And he says, look at these people. What a bunch of fools. They just have these cheap, worthless beads. But I have the real treasure. I have the real treasure. So he puts on the queen's jeweled necklace. And he comes strutting out with the necklace. And as soon as the guards see him, they start shouting and throwing things at him. And so he drops the necklace and runs off. Then they retrieve the necklace and they return it to the queen. And the queen receives the necklace. Everything is now fine. Back to normal. They let all the people who had been in jail, these five people, the peasant, the treasurer, the high priest, the musician, and the musician's girlfriend, they let them all go, and everybody gets to live in peace thanks to this wise advisor. The wise advisor. Now, who do you think the wise advisor was? Who do you think it was? The treasure man? The wise advisor was the Buddha in a previous life. So the Buddha had this wisdom over many lifetimes, and over many lifetimes, he learned and studied and became wiser and wiser with experience until he was finally born into this world. So this is a wonderful story. When you hear this story, who do you think about? Who do you identify with in this story? Who identifies with the monkey?
Me.
Who stole the jewels. Okay, we've got a few monkeys here. Okay, how about the queen who had her jewels stolen? Anybody identify with that character? Yeah, okay, sometimes people take our stuff we don't want. How about the peasant who was wrongly accused? Yeah, how about the treasurer? Yeah, who wants somebody get together, let's work it out together. How about the Brahmin who's in trouble? Well, let's at least get some fun out of it. Let's bring the musician in. Yeah? How about the musician who just wants to hang out with his girlfriend? Right? Or how about the girlfriend who just gets caught up in this big mess? Right? Right? See, there's a lot of different characters in the story. Who identifies with the wise advisor here? Right? Okay, when I think about this story, I identify with that peasant, right? Somebody accuses me of something, and the first thing I do is think about, how can this not be my fault? How can this be somebody else's problem, right? I think that's sort of a natural part of being human. Get into trouble, okay, how can I make this into somebody else's problem, right? And think about the Buddha in this story. He doesn't care whose fault it is. He doesn't care who did it. He just is looking for the solution. So he's able to look for the solution without being distracted by whose problem, whose fault is it. He thinks about what is going on, what is happening. We've got people, we've got monkeys. People are jealous, people tell lies. There's all of this foolishness going around. Let's try to cut through all this. Let's try to see clearly. And that's what we have the Buddha for. The Buddha is there in our lives through his teachings. Even though he lived 2,500 years ago, a long, long time ago, we still have this wise counselor telling us with the voice of wisdom, I don't care whose fault it is, let's look for the solution. We can hear the voice of the Buddha anytime we turn our ears to the teachings of the Buddha, or we hear the words, Namo Amida Butsu. The Buddha saying, I don't care whose fault it is. Turn your ears to my wisdom and compassion. Look for this path of living without concern for my own benefit, looking for the way that shows us the clear path to support each other and to find the solution to the problems that we face in our lives. Mahotoke-sama という知恵というのは、誰が間違った、誰が問題を起こしたというのはどうでもいいことですね。一番大切なのは解決方法を探しましょう。みんながこういう困ったことになった時は、じゃあその誰が問題を起こしたのではなくて、じゃあどういうふうに幸せに問題を解決して平和に暮らせるという知恵は仏様の知恵ですね。まあ私がよくなんかこういう間違ったこととかお前のせいだと言われるときに、まあじゃあ他の人に責任を回そうとする人間は私なんですけど、やっぱり仏様の身教え、この教えに耳を傾いたら、責任を回すのではなくて、みんな一緒に責任を持ちましょう。みんな一緒に解決方法を探しましょう。ということは、自分の人生は自分の責任である。ということですね。自分の間違ったことを認めて、その間違ったことから、その認めたことから、こういう解決方法が現れてくるんですね。で、この人生の最も困ることは、自分の、むさぼりと怒りと愚痴、間違った考え方が多いことですね。それを認めたから、じゃあ解決方法はどこにあるかと聞くと、仏様の御教え、その正しいのは仏様だけである。正しい教えは、この念仏の教えが、そこで私の正しい生き方が見つけるところでございます。ですから、こういう、間違ったこと、困った時には、仏様の御教えに、お念仏の耳を傾いたら、仏様の身を任せることによって、自分の正しい方向が見えてくる ナモアミダ仏の念仏によっては自分の安心があるんですね。困ることは困ってるんですけど、お念仏の中に、その困った中に、苦しい中に、喜びの方法が見つけることがお念仏によってできるということでございます。So I'd like to conclude my reflection today with these words of Shinran Shonin, which remind us that in the midst of all of our foolishness and all of our falsehood, that the voice of the Buddha is always calling to us in the words Namo Amida Butsu, which means I take refuge in the awakened one of immeasurable wisdom and compassion, showing us the way to live with kindness and to work together on our path to realize together a life of peace and bliss. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho, with a foolish being full of blind passions, in this fleeting world, this burning house, all matters without exception are empty and false, totally without truth and sincerity. The Nembutsu alone is true and real. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo. 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 Namo.